There are churches that don't believe the Bible, churches that don't preach the Bible. There are people in many of the churches thinking that they are on their way to heaven because they have done everything the church has told them to do, and it's not good enough. I am so sad when I see good people, moral people, pleasant people, counting on their church membership to get them to heaven. And folks, there's not a single church membership certificate that will get a person into those gates. They can show it all they want, but it won't get them to heaven. God is what Jesus told him he was. He was the way, the truth, and the life. And he is that tonight for each one of us. So that's a good segue to get into Revelation chapter 18. Now let's begin at verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Now, we've seen a lot of different angels coming in from heaven. We're seeing a lot of different visions that John is sharing with us. Some of these angels have things in common with Jesus Christ, but they are not Jesus Christ. This angel is. This angel that we're seeing in Revelation 18, chapter 1, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Remember what he said, told people in Matthew? I addressed it this morning. I read it this morning, Matthew 28, 18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. And what does it tell us here? After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. There is no one who has glory like Jesus Christ. So there is only one person who can illuminate the earth with his presence, with his glory, and that would be Jesus Christ. The downfall and the destruction of mystical Babylon are determined in the counsels of God. God, some time ago, made up his mind there would be a time when Babylon would fail, when Babylon would cease to be no more. Now, another angel comes from heaven, and this seems to be Christ coming to destroy his enemies and to shed abroad the light of his gospel through all nations. The wickedness of Babylon was very great. She had forsaken the true God. She had set up idols. She had drawn all sorts of men into spiritual adultery. And by her wealth and luxury, kept them in her interest. The spiritual merchandise by which multitudes have wickedly lived in wealth, by the sins and the follies of mankind, seem principally intended by Babylon. Fair warning is given to all that expect mercy from God, that they should not only come out of Babylon, but assist in her destruction and called effectively, while these that partake with the wicked men and their sins must receive of their plagues. We see Babylon all through Scripture. We see it in the book of Daniel. You remember where Babylon came from? Remember Nimrod building a tower to heaven? That was the beginning. And so it means confusion. There have been many Babylons. There's the city of Babylon that we see in history with Daniel. But there have been other cities that have taken the place of Babylon. And one of the cities that took the place of Babylon is Rome. Rome. I know a lot of Catholic people. I know a lot of good Catholic people. I've actually known some Catholic people who were saved, really saved, born again. But I've known a lot of Catholic people counting on the church to get them. I'm a former Catholic myself. The night that I got saved, I knew that that church was not enough because the Holy Spirit shared that with me. I didn't know who it was that was sharing it. I didn't know what he was doing. But I knew that night that if Christ came back for his church, I would not be part of it. And I wanted to make sure that I could be. So as we refer to Babylon in this chapter, we are referring to the Roman Catholic Church. God has a lot of really good warnings that he puts out for them. So Christ comes back, and the earth was lighted with his glory. Verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This cry by Jesus Christ, Babylon is fallen, is not new. Let me show you a couple of examples from the Old Testament. Isaiah 21:9. And behold, there cometh a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the graven images of her gods he hath broken unto the ground. This was a form of a prophecy with Isaiah. Let me show you one other prophecy. Jeremiah 51:8-9. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Howl for her, take balm for her pain. If so be, she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go every one to his own country. For her judgment reacheth unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. You see, God required the fall of Babylon because of her grievous sins, as you will see. Let's read on. Revelation 18:3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, we're talking about spiritual fornication, folks. We're not talking about a sexual misconduct. We're talking about spiritual fornication. Worshiping a false god, being involved to serve a false god. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, I trust that you all understand that we're not talking about the ancient Babylon, we're talking about modern-day Babylon. For Babylon still exists today. Babylon will exist when the tribulation comes. We're going to see what she is called here in just a few moments. We're talking about the Catholic Church. Instead of being angry or judgmental or condemning the people in the Catholic Church, we need to feel sorry for them. For they are in a false religion. They are in a religion that produces sin. If we back up just two verses, one verse. When Babylon falls, all of her idols fall with her. Is there anybody here who's never been in a Catholic church? Never been in a Catholic church, okay. You need to visit one. You need to just visit, just to look. Huh? There's a Catholic church right down Dorchester Road. You just need to go in there and look. And when you walk in and you see a full life-size idol of Mary, of Joseph, of this saint, of that saint, of Jesus still on the cross, they leave him on the cross. Now, they preach the resurrection, but they leave Jesus on the cross. You look at a Catholic church, and you see where Jesus is. He's on the cross. The victory is not obtained. The victory has not been achieved. And there, as I said, there are Christians in almost every denomination, including the Mormons. Not many, but there are born-again Christians in almost every single denomination. Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, there are Christians. Just like there are a lot of un-Christians in the Baptist Church. But these people are counting on what they are being told, which is a lie. Verses 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And folks, the people, most of the people in the Catholic Church are true unbelievers. And God gives them a warning, come out of her. Don't be a part of it. If this church quits preaching the gospel, if this church starts teaching error, you need to get out of that front door just as fast as you can and get in your car and go find a church that teaches the truth. There are churches all over this city that do not teach the truth. I counseled with someone from a church in this town, well, in Charleston, for 2.5 hours one day this week, because they are not teaching the truth and they are not organized according to what God's word teaches us. Who is head of the church? Jesus Christ. Not me. The pastor is not the head of the church. The deacons are not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is. We all are accountable to him. You are. You are accountable to him, not to me. That's what the Baptist church teaches, the priesthood of the believer. You are accountable directly to God. You are not accountable to the hierarchy of the church or the church leadership. You are accountable only to God. And if you are listening to God, he's going to take you where you need to be, where you should be. So God calls his people out of the false church. Come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins. What kind of sins could the church possibly teach? Well, we're going to see in just a few minutes. That ye receive not of her plagues. She has plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Folks, a church is not to be a wicked thing. Just because a person is in a bar doesn't mean that they're getting drunk. Many of you go to lunch some places that they serve alcohol, and nobody thinks you're there to drink your lunch. But if you're there long enough, you may come out of there with a smell of alcohol on you. If you're any place where sin is taking place long enough, the smell of the sin may come off on you. Sometimes we wonder why people go to a church that doesn't teach the truth of Scripture. Sometimes we can't understand why people would go to church where the music is not glorifying to the Lord, but they go to that kind of a church. That's what my phone call was about. The music, the way it's organized. Folks, you wouldn't believe how many churches. Do you remember what one sheet I give you at the annual meeting every year? You may take it for granted, but I give everybody who comes into the annual meeting a profit and loss statement. Diana and Nancy work on that very hard. Come up with that. That's so that you know where your money, every penny of it, is being spent. And there are churches all around here. The people don't know what they're doing financially. They don't know how much money they've got. They don't know what the preacher's being paid. Anybody here need to know what the preacher's being paid? I'll tell you. $30,000 a year, okay? Becky, it's more than anybody deserves. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Far beyond pay. It is. It's a real honor to do what the Lord wants you to do. And every one of you, I hope, is finding the place God has for you, doing what He wants you to do. But there are churches all around us that are operating in secret because they don't want the people to know what they have for a pastor. Really? I knew a woman who left the Baptist church and became a Catholic. She was born again, as anybody I have ever known. Why did she do that? She would be the kind of person that Jesus is calling to come out of the Catholic Church. If a person hangs around with sinners, eventually they'll be accused of sin. Only those who do not know the Word get involved in the things that the Word condemns. Folks, if you're going to stay away from God's condemnation, if you're going to stay away from violation of God's will for you, you better be reading this book. You better be in this book. Because there's a lot of information in this book that even brings me under conviction. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Church membership is one of those things that gets complicated. It's clear to see that Jesus calls a certain group out of the Babylonian sin. Come out of her, my people. I'm going to ask you to help me tonight. I want somebody to look up Jeremiah 50, verse 8. Who'll do that? Just one hand, one quick hand, okay? Tim will do that. Jeremiah 51, as long as you're in Jeremiah, then Jeremiah 51, 6. Jeremiah 51, 45. We'll let Tim do all this. He's used to teaching. Jeremiah 50, verse 8. Okay, come out. 51:6. And 51:45. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think God wants people in the Catholic Church? No, he does not. Has he warned them? He's warned them in the Old Testament. He's warning them in the New Testament. We're reading it tonight. That is not God's will. Folks, when you see somebody, a good person, involved in the Catholic Church, you should feel sorrow for them. You should feel sorry for them. You should offer a quick prayer for them. There are so many people, the vast majority of public figures are Catholics. That's why they're wandering around like they are. They don't have direction. They don't have God moving them in a particular direction. There have been times where I have criticized Baptist deacons for being so against the Catholic Church until I started studying. And I began to see how wicked it is, even though I had been one. Come out of her, my people. Even in the Roman church, God has people, but they are in great danger. Their only safety is in coming out of her at once. I like a lot of the folks on Fox News because they tell the truth. Most of them are Catholic. How sad. They're telling the truth and they're on their way to hell and don't know it. So also in every apostate or world-conforming church, there are some of God's invisible and true church, who, if they would be safe, must come out, especially at the eve of God's judgment. I believe God's judgment is very close. This 18th chapter is full of warnings and references to the judgment of God. I believe we're on the eve of God's judgment on the apostate church. As Lot was warned to come out of Sodom just before its destruction, and Israel to come from about the tents of Dathan and Abiram, so the first Christians came out of Jerusalem when the apostate Jewish church was judged. State and church are precious gifts of God, folks. State and church. The nation we are growing up in, the nation we are living in, is a gift of God. God designed them. He also provided to govern them. God become and for those who do not follow God, they become as beasts. The church apostatizing becomes the harlot. The church apostatizing becomes the harlot. Many churches. Every time I pass a church down the road here, going downtown, I think about it when I go past that church. What are they offering the people? Nothing. Nothing for them to offer. Verse 6. reward her as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. You know, it becomes obvious that Jesus is telling the people to repay the church for the way that it had deceived the people. And that's what the church is doing today. It is deceiving the people. There'll be a lot of people who will be surprised to open their eyes and find they're not in heaven, but they're in someplace else. We'll see in just a few more verses that the people who do listen to what they are commanded will be so much better off. Verses 7 and 8. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Folks, you don't understand the wickedness that exists in the Catholic Church. Would you say that Mexico was a well-off country or a poor country? If you ever get to Mexico City, go into the Catholic Church. Things coated with gold. Gold. Fantastic amount of wealth within the church. You see the cardinals in their robes with the pearls, real pearls, with the jewels, real jewels. And what kind of people are paying for this? Poor people, lost people, deceived people. I'd like for you to look at what we're being told about the apostate church. Now, Rome has built itself into a world power. God did not do that. The devil did. For much of what Rome and the Roman churches teach is in violation to God's word. The teachings of the Catholic Church are so opposed to what we have for God's word that they have to have a different Bible. One that leaves out much of what our Bible tells us. As we get into the original Ten Commandments, we are not to create anything that looks like anything on earth and bow down before it. When you walk into the Catholic Church, you've got all these statues up at the front, and what do? You genuflect, knee on the ground. To them. Not to what they represent. To them. Walk past one sometimes, see what the priest does. See if you get chided. The teachings of the Catholic Church are so opposed to the Word of God that they have to have their own Bible, which is not a Bible at all. The Catholic Bible is what Paul spoke of in Galatians 1. Galatians 1, 6 through 9 says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's what the Catholic Church does. But though we or an angel from heaven or a guy wearing a white collar and a black t-shirt, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What God does, he often does quickly. According to this passage, destruction will come quickly, and it will occur in just 1 hour. Maybe not a literal hour, but an hour could represent a few days, a month. But there is a particular hour where God is going to get rid of the harlot. Revelation 9 and 10, 18, 9 and 10. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. There's a time coming when God is going to judge the apostate church. And it won't be just a church with one name. There'll be a lot of different names. Much of the time during the real strong times where the Catholic Church ruled the world, and there was a time when it did, most of the kings and queens, the royalty of the various countries, were subject to the church. It told them what to do. Why do you think we have this? What was King James trying to do? He was trying to get the influence of the Catholic Church. And God used, even though he was not a necessarily godly man, God used him to accomplish good. God can turn sin to good, and he does. The kings of the earth used to... Why did Columbus set sail? Looking for a new path to India. For the Queen of Spain. Because she was under... He was doing this for the Catholic Church. A lot of people don't realize the strength that the church has in a lot of the history. Much of the time, royalty connived with the Roman Church to have things their own way, and fornication was spiritual. Living deliciously is a matter of living in the desire of the sin of that day. And folks, I have seen so much of that in the last few days. I am amazed, I'm repulsed by the sin that is being taught to our young people, the practices that they are making, the things they are doing. Not only did the church endorse the sin, but they participated in it. As a Catholic, I was a member of the Newman Club at Wayne State University. That's a Catholic club on campus. Many is the time that the priest that I would have to go to for confession on Saturday was getting drunk with me when I was doing that. For real. I know, because it happened. When the world sees a church being judged and a punishment being imposed, it's going to flee its close proximity as the church is destroyed by God. And they will have no knowledge as to how to get back to God, because how will they learn? How will they know? Like I said earlier, it will happen quickly. Chapter 18, verses 11 through 13. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. I want to stop right here and pause for just a moment. There is one church that blesses sea captains, that blesses ships, that blesses merchants, that blesses pets. Think about that. All these things they bless. I want to show you God's list of some of the things that they are participating in, and notice them very carefully. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple. I'm seeing the robes of the cardinals and the bishops. And thine wood, in all manner of vessels of ivory, in all manner of vessels, most precious woods, and of brass and iron and marble. Keep watching. And cinnamon and odors and ointments. What was Columbus looking for? A path to get these things. And frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. You know what's the worst thing that can happen to a Catholic? They be excommunicated by the priest. God never gave man the ability to separate him from God. No man has that authority. Only one, he's in heaven at the throne of God making intervention for us. Folks, this is a wicked practice. More wicked than you might ever imagine. And unless you've been a part of it, you begin to know and realize. And it's being talked about right here in the Word of God. I would have you notice what kind of people the Catholic Church is comfortable with. Many of the people in the entertainment business, many of them are Catholic. Because you can do wicked things and still get away with it. That's the fornication, the spiritual fornication. Not being true to God, not being true to God's word, not being true to God's principles. The church is able to bless all kinds of conduct. Some of the merchandise, slaves, and the souls of men, the souls of men. The Catholic Church thinks that it has the authority to excommunicate people so that they will go to hell. The church believes it has that authority. Think about it. The church believes it has the authority to send men to pronounce them to go to hell. But only God can do that. Man cannot condemn others to hell. They may tell them to go there, but they can't buy the ticket. Okay. Revelation 18:14. And the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more. There are those people in the world that use church affiliations for profit or secular employment, enjoyment. The Catholic Church provides this kind of ministry for many. Excuse me. The Catholic Church is not as interested in the souls of men as it is in the welfare of the church itself. You get in trouble if you don't give a certain amount to the church. We don't care what you give. Only God does. You're not giving to the church, you're giving to God. Verses 15 and 16. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Is it not strange when the choice is profit or life?" It gets hard to enjoy profit if you're dead. And the merchants choose life over profit. They may weep for their losses, but they will abandon the chance to make a profit if it's going to cost them their lives. Most of them are more interested in material possessions than their soul. That's a sad thing to say about any church. And yet there are churches all around here like that. Not interested in a man's souls, but interested in profit, that they might live at the standard they choose to live. And I do not understand why the people in that kind of a church will permit that kind of activity. I'm having great difficulty not naming some churches. Because it was two of the phone calls I got this past week were from other churches. Churches that do exactly what we're talking about. And I asked them, "Why don't you ask the pastor?" And they said, "I did. But he told me it was none of my business." Folks, it is your business what this church does. It is your business what this church does. Because God's going to hold you accountable for being a part of it. There is one thing for sure. There is no other church that has special times and blessings for so many different kinds of things. Sailors, ships, pets, policemen, firemen, so many other things. One thing that the Catholics are really good at is superstition. Superstition. When the Catholic Church went into other countries, other nations, they adopted the superstitions of the other nations so the people would join. And they are still practiced today. I know it for a fact. Revelation 18, verse 19. We're talking about the kings and the merchants now. And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of their costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." God is going to bring the apostate church to an end. Here in Revelation chapter 18, the world sorrows over the loss of profit for all those who did business with the Roman Catholic Church. But where is the sorrow for the loss of the souls that were deceived by the church, or the souls that were put to death by the church? During the Spanish Inquisition, people were burned at the stake for having part of a page of a Bible. Yeah, part of a page. not a whole Bible, just part of a page. The Catholic Church put them to death because they did not want people to know what the Bible said. Many people that helped translate the Bible into English were put to death at the command of the church, the command of the Pope, the command of the cardinal. They did not want the people to understand or believe the things of God. All of these verses that we've read tonight demonstrate sorrow for material things, but lack of sorrow for spiritual things. Just look at the way that heaven, this is a good way to finish this chapter in Revelation. Look at the way that heaven responds to the destruction of and loss of the Romanist church. Chapter 18, verses 20 through 24. Now this is God's side of the thing. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, rejoice. And ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city, Babylon, be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more in thee. And the light of a candle. Yeah, that mentions a church. I see a lot of candles burning. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more in thee. Who is the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. Who is the bride? We are. No more will it be heard, not in the apostate church. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. There is no other church that I know of who has done that kind. What we have here is that the city of Rome became the present day Babylon. And what does Jesus Christ call? Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Stay close to the Lord. Stay close. Father, you are telling us about what you are going to do. And Father, we are listening. We can't imagine all these things. We can't really comprehend them. But your Holy Spirit can help us to understand. He can help us to understand that you are unhappy with those who do not obey you. Jesus told us if we loved him, keep his commandments. And Father, we know the same thing applies to you. If we love you, we will keep your commandments. And Father, today there are churches all around us that are operating in their own strength, their own wisdom, their own power. And Father, they are not in obedience to your word. Help us to remain obedient. Help us to remain faithful. And Father, use us to reach out into the world with your message, with your gospel. And Father, may we see fruit for your glory. And we will praise you for all that you do because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.